Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Are you weary in your journey of the Christian life? Do you wonder where that newness and that sense of wonder went? Well, next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to study a series entitled Highway 1, How to Enjoy the Journey of the Christian Life with Jesus Christ in First Place. The Christian life is a journey, and sometimes it can be a frustrating, wearisome, and a tiresome journey. If you're weary or discouraged, then we hope today's message on Daily in the Word will bring you hope and strength. Our series is entitled Highway 1. We're studying how to enjoy the journey of the Christian life with Jesus Christ in first place. When our eyes and focus are on Him, He makes all of the difference. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program comes to you from the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. Thanks so much for being with us today for this edition of Daily in the Word. Before we get started, don't forget to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find lots of links and resources that will help you in your Christian life and in your relationship with the Lord Jesus. You'll find lots of resources that will encourage your heart and also more information about this ministry, Daily in the Word, and Dr. Paul Chappell. But now we begin the second message in this series found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, Family Convictions, the spark plugs that move us forward in our journey.
Some of you might remember the day, February 1st, 2003, as the space shuttle Columbia disintegrated in space and the astronauts' lives were lost. Some of you may not be aware of the fact that two of those space shuttle commanders, Rick Husband and Michael Anderson, were both born-again Christian men. And they gave their testimony at the Grace Church in Houston before their launch and played some video also for their children while they were in space and had prepared the video of their testimony. And some of that was shown at the church later on at their funeral services. But I thought it was really interesting as I read the testimonies of Husband and Anderson, and this is what they said to their church. If I ended up at the end of my life having been an astronaut, but having sacrificed my family along the way, or living my life in a way that didn't glorify God, then I would look back on it with great regret, Husband said. Having become an astronaut would not really have mattered all that much. I finally came to realize that what really meant the most to me was to try and live my life the way God wanted me to, and to be the best husband for Evelyn and a good father for my children. There were men who were doing their best to seek first the kingdom of God and to make their family a priority and to do what God had called them to do in their role as husbands and parents. God says, I want you to be an example for your family. But notice the second conviction this morning. We've not only got to have the conviction concerning our role, but secondly, concerning our responsibility as parents. Now, it's one thing to have the role. It's one thing to have the job title on your door. It's another thing to do the job. So how do we get down to the nuts and bolts of what is the responsibility in the home for the parents? First of all, God says, I want you to take those children. By the way, how many of you believe children are the heritage of the Lord? Okay. He gives them to us to steward and to raise for Him. He says, I want you to take those children. First of all, I want you to train those children. I want you, verse number 4 says, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, we do that first and foremost biblically. And I know a lot of you are younger parents today and newer Christians at that. And you're going, whoa, Pastor Chappell, I don't have a degree in theology, and I don't know a lot about teaching people, but God has given you children for a short period of time in your home, and He wants you to do your very best with them. And He wants you to be their primary Bible teacher, which means you have to be a good student along the way as a parent. You see, the idea of leaving the Christian school, the primary responsibility of giving our children a Christian education, is not found in the Bible. God wants us at the home level to talk to our kids about how great He is and about His power and about His love for us. Look, if you would, at Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5. It's in your notes, or you can turn there in the Bible. It says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Moses says, look, when you're walking and talking and just being a family, I want you to talk about my commandments. And I want you to talk about my word. And look, at there are many opportunities to talk about God's creation, God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, all the attributes of God. And God says, I want you to train them biblically. And secondly, He wants us to train them from the heart. It's not enough that they memorize, or not enough that they are told certain things and outwardly conform. But a parent wants to make sure that the children are from the heart following the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 23:26, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." And so the father says, look, I want you from the heart to hear this and to see where we're going. The goal of your family time with your children is to stimulate within them a hunger for God. Sometimes that's best accomplished by asking a question like this: "Son, how are you doing in your walk with God? Do you feel like the Lord is helping you to steer away from the wrong influences and follow that which is right? What did you learn in Sunday school today? How does that friend help you to follow the Lord in a closer relationship?" Sometimes questions will stimulate their conscious heart and their thinking. And so God says, I want you to train the children biblically and nurture their heart spiritually. And then notice, secondly, sometimes God wants us to warn our children. And notice, if you would, in verse 4 again, it says, "Bring them up in the nurture," and the second word is the admonition of the Lord. Now, a lot of parents, in the matter of confrontation, tend to find two extremes. You have what I call, on one side, the permissive Pauls. I mean, they never confront the kids. They can wear whatever they want, do whatever they want, come in whenever they want, cuss, live however they want, and no one says anything. You have, on the other side, what I call the angry Al. And all he does is yell and scream. He never teaches. He never takes them out for a Coke. He never takes them to a Dodgers game. He just yells and screams at them whenever they do something wrong. Well, God says that we are to admonish. We are to warn our children. But it must be done in the foundational sense of loving them and speaking the truth because we love them. I heard of a lady that walked into her teenage son's room, and he had turned it into a weightlifting center. You know, he's lifting weights, going to become the next Arnold Schwarzenegger or something. And she said to him, she said, "Son, how is it that you can bench press nearly 200 pounds, but you can't pick up the clothes from your room?" You ever have a kid like that? And sometimes you have to bring it to their attention, and then you have to stay in the middle of their moment until they do what you told them to do. I mean, look, kid, I'll spend the night in here until you pick this up, you know? We're not gonna turn the next page until we deal with this. And you train them, and you warn them with love. Ephesians 4:15. "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ." Moms and dads, we need to warn our children about the evils of this world that will pull them down. And we don't have time to list them all. But certainly as a parent, when something comes on your radar, it's your responsibility to bring it to their attention. I think about MTV today and how it affects young people. And I've read recently 231 million homes in 75 countries watch MTV, and they see the violence and the wickedness and the immodesty and the cursing and all the rest of it. And I think a Christian mom or dad, when they see that, they need to, first of all, remove it from the home, and secondly, warn their children that nearness is likeness, and that if garbage comes in, garbage is going to come out. And that's not what we feel is becoming of a Christ-honoring teenager. 95% of families, the greatest single influence is the television. And it's amazing, mom and dad. You sterilize their dishes. You make sure the dishwasher's at the right temperature and has enough soap. You wouldn't dare put a germ in them, but you contaminate their mind day after day after day with the television. And I'm simply saying a parent has to be careful to warn and admonish their children. Author Josh McDowell reported a study of 3,700 Christian teenagers in which 66% of them said that they have lied to their parents, and 50% of them said that they watched MTV daily. And by the way, dads, it's hard to tell your kids how bad MTV is when you have internet pornography on. That's why it's so important that you can say, like the Apostle Paul, the things that you have seen in me, do. Amen. You want a hard counseling session? How about the one when the seventh grade boy comes to the youth pastor and says, I'm a little nervous. I don't know what to do. My dad keeps watching bad stuff on the computer at night. I saw him when I went to the bathroom the other day. I saw him in the living room. You want a hard day as a pastor? Try to confront that dad. He'll get ticked off at you. What are you talking to my kids about? You know, all of a sudden it's the church's fault. I'm just saying, dads, if we're going to be concerned about our children and their testimony, how about our testimony? We've got to be sincere in our faith, and we've got to be careful to warn them with love from a heart and a life that's consistent. And then we must warn them with biblical principles. Biblical principles. Children need principles to guide and direct them. Now, I know they're going to sometimes go out of bounds, okay? I know that our children sometimes break the rules. But we must not accommodate that by moving the rules. We must determine the biblical convictions for our family. Now, every family should have some biblical standards or convictions. One of my little pet peeves over the years is this, that it should not just be the church that has standards. Now, I don't mind. People can get mad at the church or the pastor. Oh, that guy's got so many rules. He's such a legalist, this and that. Hey, I've heard it all before. But you want to know the honest truth of the matter is, every one of you parents should have that said about you from time to time. Hey, even McDonald's has standards. No shirt, no shoes, no service. No one walks into McDonald's and goes, where's the legalist that manages this place? You know, where are you coming up with the rules, man? No, you're not going to do that. You want your Big Mac. Now, let me help you with something. How do you develop standards and convictions for your family? And I'm not going to try to give you mine right now. We don't have time, and you wouldn't like it anyways. But let me just give you some tools real quick. Number one, you have to begin with a Bible principle. You have to start with a Bible principle. One of the biggest mistakes that a lot of our good, sound Bible-teaching churches have made is to give a lot of the conviction side of it or the standard side of it without the Bible side of it. So you start with a Bible principle. Secondly, you develop a conviction that's based on that principle. And then thirdly, you establish a standard which helps you keep your convictions. Now, before I mention more about standards, let me make one quick statement. Parents have the right to preferences too. So, kids, don't go home and say, prove it to me from the Bible and I'll obey it. No. Pastors, you know, we follow that more so. But the fact is, one parent might say, I want you home at 10, and another parent might say 10:30, and another parent might say 11, and all three parents are right. Because they have the authority and they have the preference. But when it comes to the big issues of life, you start with a Bible principle, then you develop a conviction, and then you establish a standard. So churches have standards, companies have standards, but it's a different realm. In the church life, we want to start with a biblical principle. All right, let's just do a quick exercise and we'll move on. But this might help some of you with teenagers as you establish your standards for them. Here's a Bible principle, Psalm 101 verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Okay? Now, you could talk about lying or cheating or all other Bible verses, but let's just take this one. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. How many of you are with me in this message and you say, okay, that's a Bible principle? All right. There's your principle. All right, so I'm the dad talking to my kids. Here's our conviction, kids, that we shouldn't see anything with our eyes that's wicked or would cause lust or temptation, and we should turn away. That's our conviction. And the kids are going to go, that's right, Dad. Okay. Now then, let's set some standards in our lives that will help us keep our convictions, because we want to keep our convictions because those are the spark plugs that move our family forward. So how about some standards, okay? Here's a standard. How about, kids, no MTV, all right? How about no HBO? Those are standards. How about this? If we go to a friend's house and they have bad books, we're going to run away from that house and come home. Now, those are standards. And how about this? We're not going back to his house next week. Now, if you just start off with, you're never going to that kid's house again, sometimes it's good to back up and remind them why. Because we have a Bible-based conviction that is going to cause us to have these standards. And so the responsibility of parents is to train the children and to warn the children, and yes, sometimes to set the standard, and yes, sometimes you're going to go, you're the most strict parent in the whole world. You're going to go, thank you so much. And then take them to the Dodgers game. All right. Convictions concerning the role of parents, convictions concerning the responsibility. Our role as an example, our responsibility to train. Let's close this morning with this. Convictions regarding family relationships. Let's just talk real quickly about our convictions with our family relationships. And I want to say this quick phrase. Rules without relationships brings rebellion. And so when you have a strong set of convictions and standards in your home, if the foundation of that is a loving relationship, it's going to go a lot easier for you. Now, let me just say, I'm talking here in the context of the family. I'm not talking about every situation in life. Rules without relationship bring rebellion. In other words, you go to the Marines and you sign up and you're there at boot camp. Don't expect the drill instructor to be all relationship oriented. Don't go, hey, look, man, show me some love first and then I'll shine my boots, okay? Let's just kind of, you know, bond a little bit here. No. You know, it's not always that way. But in the home setting, God commands us to love our families and that His love should be the foundation. And let me give you a few thoughts on how that's shown. First, relationships are built through staying together. There needs to be, no matter where you are right now, and I know some of you are different family relationships, but wherever you are right now with your husband, wife, or as a single parent, you need to let your spouse and children know this. Hey, we're in this thing together, and we're staying together, and we're committed to one another. So that every time you have to bring up a tough issue, in the back of their mind, they're not going, is he leaving? Is it over? But they know that there's a love and a stability and a commitment. Mark 10:7. Have you ever read this? For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And that's to be adhered to, that we are committed one to another. Stay committed with your family. Secondly, stay involved with your family. Spend time together. Get out a calendar and plan time together. If you can't drive your kids to school, then have a routine at night where you read a story or where you talk about the day or where you pray together. Spend time together. 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. The word dwell means to settle in and get to know one another. One lady was trying to help her husband get ready for Valentine's Day, and she was giving her perspective on romance, and the discussion went to the subject of flowers. And she was explaining to her husband about flowers, and somewhat, you know, rationally, he thought and then spoke, and he said, you know, really, what's the point, really? Because they die about a week later. She said, well, so could you. But I still like having you around. Now, fellas, when you dwell with your wife according to knowledge, that means it may not make sense to you, but you've studied the subject here, and you're learning how to adapt. And some of the ladies are going, he's learning very slowly. That's why I'm preaching this message. Because the fact of the matter is that we're not just to stay together. That's her room. That's my room. This is where we eat and watch television. But we're to dwell together. We're to talk together. We're to express our love in our worship time, in our work time, in our fun time, spending time with one another, instructing and encouraging along the way, staying together. Secondly, relationships are built through standing together. Standing together. You remember the old country song, Stand By Your Man, right? But that's not what we're talking about in the primary sense here. We're talking about standing together in Jesus Christ. Because most country singers who sang that song, they're not still standing by the same man. So what's the difference? Well, look at this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now listen very carefully. You will not have a Christian home if you are not a Christian. If you're not in Christ. And you're not in Christ until you turn from yourself and you turn to Him and say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner and I ask You to come into my life and be my Savior. You can only stand together as a Christian family if you both have Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then once you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can together begin to develop these convictions we're talking about today. You can begin to have a commonality of convictions and directions one with another. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. And even as Jesus wants a clean bride, He says, I want the Christian home to be sanctified and to be pure unto me. And I want you to work together at having those kinds of convictions, staying together with your relationship as a godly relationship. And I encourage you today, if you have never accepted Christ, to come to Christ today. I encourage you today as a family, whatever your family status, to develop biblically based convictions for your family. It was wonderful to hear that testimony this morning, wasn't it, by David and Terry? You know what's great? Not only that they've accepted Christ, but that they're sitting in these pews and that they're listening and they're reading the Bible at home and they're now developing common convictions. Though they're not young married kids, but now as newlyweds in the Lord, you see, they're building the relationship that pleases God. My first week in Lancaster, back in July of 1986, I went out knocking on doors and inviting people to church and telling people about Jesus, but no one was really listening much. And I thought, you know, we left a great place and good salary, good church in the Bay Area. We came down here. I thought, you know, probably every other door they're going to say to me, what must I do to be saved? You know, I just thought it'd be just kind of like that. And it was amazing. Not many people said that week. In fact, nobody got saved. And I remember coming home on Saturday afternoon and having a bite to eat with my family. And our daughter, Danielle, said to me, she said, Dad, I got saved today. And I said something like this. No, you didn't. I wasn't here. You can't get saved without me. my wife's kind of looking at me like, I think she did get saved. Well, I sat down and went over everything with her and made sure she understood. And sure enough, she did. And sure enough, she was saved that day. And I think to me, it's significant and a blessing that the very first convert that was ever baptized at Lancaster Baptist Church in our ministry was our daughter, Danielle. And I think the picture to me is simply this. No matter how many thousands of members might have come into this church, if I had lost my family in the process, I probably would have missed the main thing for me. And no matter how successful you are in life, I just want to challenge you today. Keep working on your family. Keep building those convictions. Keep loving one another. And let God help you to move forward down this highway one by His grace. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I just want to thank You this morning for loving us. And I pray for families right now, maybe some moms and dads whose kids right now are far away from You in church. I just pray that by their very presence here today, Lord, that You would bless them. Help families to be reunited. Help husbands to have wisdom and wives too. Help all of us to have the convictions we need in this wicked day. Help us, Lord, to move forward by Your grace. And Father, we just know that You have a plan for every family here, and You want us to reflect Your love and Your joy. I pray that You'd speak to hearts just now.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We've been studying a series entitled Highway One. We're discovering how to make the journey of life with Jesus. Friend, if you don't know that Jesus is in your heart and life as your personal Savior, the most important decision you could ever make is to place your trust in Him, to simply call upon Him and ask Him to come into your life and be your one and only Savior. It's an act of trust. It's an act of placing all of your faith in Him alone for salvation, for eternal life. In that moment, He answers that prayer. He comes into your life, and that relationship begins, and the journey with Him through life begins, and nothing could be more important. If you have questions about that decision, we would love to talk with you more if you'll call us. I'll give you a number in just a few moments, but we would love to talk with you and help you trust Christ as your Savior. Friend, I want to remind you, you can find out more about this program at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. One of the most exciting resources on that website is simply entitled The Rooted in Christ Daily Devotional. If you'd like to read through your Bible in a year and also have a daily proverb and a daily devotional thought with a rooted principle, this is a free subscription. You simply need to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Click on the Rooted in Christ Daily Devotional. If you submit your email address every day in your email box, you'll receive an Old and New Testament scripture reading, a proverb, and a word of encouragement from Dr. Chappell. It's all complimentary. It's our gift to you, and you can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Don't forget, there's a Daily in the Word podcast as well. You can subscribe for free, download the program, take it with you on your phone or iPad or iPod, and listen to it at your convenience. Why don't you refer a friend today to dailyintheword.org? It's a treasury of resources for spiritual growth. And visit us online again, dailyintheword.org. Or if we can be a help to you, simply give us a call toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.